Jesus saves. Jesus is my Savior. God is my salvation. What do we mean by that when we say that? We say that all the time in church. So, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Turn to someone sitting next to you and tell them what you mean when you say Jesus saves. All right, let's go. 30 seconds. Jesus saves. All right, I know you got it all solved, right? When I put it this way, we find that it is very hard to exactly explain what it means, Jesus saves. And in fact, if I was to go outdoors as someone who is not in church this morning, Jesus saves, Jesus is Savior, do you know what that means? People outside will say, it's like a foreign language to them. What do you mean, Jesus saves? Now, we know what it has meant traditionally, Jesus saves. We've traditionally meant that Jesus saves us from sin so that we can go to heaven and not go to hell, right? But funny thing is, that traditional understanding, we have a sound problem, right? All right, so I'll try to speak as loud as I can. In the traditional understanding, Jesus saves us from sin so that we can go to heaven. In the Bible, that's very hard to find. Especially in the Old Testament, there is nothing about an afterlife. And even in the New Testament, Jesus hardly talked about, follow me so I can take you to heaven. Jesus was usually talking about, follow me, and I'll show you how to live on this earth. So even the language that we speak has so much baggage that we ourselves don't know what we're saying. People outside the church even think that's even a foreign language when we speak like that. So next few weeks, we're going to talk about these terms that we throw around in the church, this language that we're used to, and see what does it really mean, Jesus saves. So what better way it is than look at Jesus in action through this story of Zacchaeus, a story that many of us grew up with, this man up a tree. But in this story, Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. So what does Jesus mean when he said that? Well, I want us to focus just on one aspect of this story, because sometimes we read these stories from the Bible and we think that we understand them, but these stories come 2,000 years ago, right? A different culture, different language. So I want us to focus on this point where Jesus comes to this tree and he looks up to Zacchaeus. In Jesus' day, when a famous person came into town, the town would be so prepared. They felt honored that a guest was coming. So in fact, they would send out people outside of town to escort the person into their town. An American missionary lived in Egypt, southern Egypt in the 60s. And Mr. Bailey mentions that President Nasser of Egypt at that point was at the height of his popularity. When the town knew that he was coming, on that day, people left their homes, went out of town 10 miles outside of their town to greet their president. And then when they met him, all the cars were turned off. They tied ropes to the bumpers of the cars, and they pulled the car into their town 10 miles It's a sign of respect and honor that this guest was coming to their town. Well, it seemed like Jesus was coming to Jericho, and the people were excited. This teacher, this prophet, this miracle worker is coming to our town. So I assume that people had gone out of their cities of Jericho, outside of city limit, to greet Jesus. And on the way in, of course, Jesus heals a blind man. But for some reason, in Jesus' plan, there is no plan to stay in Jericho. He was simply going to go pass through town. So you can expect that people are disappointed, right? They thought this teacher was coming to their town to stay with them, to have a banquet and a celebration. But the Bible says Jesus was going to pass through town. But his plans get all changed because of this man named Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a cheat. He was a tax collector of his day. In those days, it's not like the IRS, although many of us think like IRS is like that. In the tax farming system they were in, you bought the right to collect taxes for the Roman Empire. So Zacchaeus had received this right. And of course, he was the only one who knew how much people had to pay. So the Bible says he had become rich. He had cheated people. He was not an honest man, honest official. So the people in town didn't like him. They hated him, in fact. In the rabbinical teachings, rabbis said that tax collectors were defiled. If you touched that person, if you spoke to that person, you yourself became defiled. So you stayed away. You stood away from tax collectors as much as possible. But he wanted to see Jesus. We don't know why. Maybe he was curious. Maybe there was something in Jesus' message that drew him. But he knew, because he was hated, he dare not go into the crowd, right? You know what happens when collaborators are found. I mean, someone could pull out a knife and your life was in danger. So he had an idea. I'm going to go out of town when Jesus leaves and get in this tree and wait for Jesus. Now, for some reason in the Middle Eastern cities, it was considered bad to have trees in town proper, because in those days, people liked open space. So there was a rule that trees could be planted 75 or 100 feet outside of town. So here is Zacchaeus riding outside of town to get in this tree. A sycamore fig tree, they say, was low hanging. It was big, but you could climb the branches, and it had a huge leaf. So if you climbed high enough, you could remain hidden. So Zacchaeus obviously didn't want to be seen. He wanted to be hidden, but he wanted to see Jesus. Well, Jesus comes to this tree, and as he comes, he probably heard noise, because little kids and people had discovered this man, this hated tax collector, up in the tree. And of course, what were people saying? Some nasty four-letter words, right? Maybe some people were throwing stones at him, because here he was now, unprotected, this traitor to the nation, this hated tax collector. Here comes Jesus. And he sees this happening, and what does Jesus do? People probably expected him to be like a prophet, to say, "You tax collector, get out of there. You're a bad man. You're a traitor to the nation. You must repent." But what does Jesus say? Jesus talks to Lazarus and Zacchaeus and says, "Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today." See, now, Jesus has said he wasn't staying in that town, right? He was just passing through. There must have been thousands of people in that town who would have welcomed Jesus to their home. A lot of honored, a lot of wonderful citizens, leaders, who would have welcomed Jesus. But Jesus says, "I'm going to your house today." What happens in that moment? Moments before, they hated this man. They wanted to kill him. He was the tax collector. But when Jesus says, I'm going to your house today, people are shocked. Not only that, they must have questioned Jesus. What is Jesus doing? Of all the homes in our town, he goes to this man's house. I mean, he wasn't even going to stop in our town, but now he walks back into city proper, takes a crowd into this man's house, considered defiled. Jesus himself will be defiled. The next morning, he'll have to get up and go to temple to purify himself. I'm sure among the crowd, people are murmuring, and the Bible says, people murmured. He is going to the house of this traitor, this man we hate, this man who doesn't belong to our neighborhood. But something happens to Zacchaeus, because at the banquet, he gets up and he says, and of course, Middle Eastern cultures have this sense of exaggeration, right? I'm going to give all of my possessions away. And in that culture, when you exaggerate, there was a sense that you were being true. So if Zacchaeus had said, I'm going to give 10% of what you've given, I've taken away from you, you know that he's not going to do anything. But when he says, I'm going to give all half of my possessions away and pay four times what I've taken from you. Well, actually, if you figure that out, he would have nothing left for himself. So you know he's exaggerating, but you know that he is sincere. Something had happened to him. He was going to be different. Bible says, Jesus will save his people from their sins. From their sins. Of course, we in the church have always equated sins with rules and obligations, deeds and actions. But whenever we meet Jesus, when he talks about delivering us from our sin, he goes deeper. Sin is a refusal to grow up, a refusal to love, a refusal to get committed, to be concerned, to show compassion, a refusal to take risks in life. So for Jesus, sin was much bigger than if I lied or not. Jesus saves Zacchaeus from his sin and selfishness. And he told the good news that God loves you. Because in the moment when Jesus directed all the hatred of the people to himself away from Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus realized that this man loved him. This man saw something in him. That his message that God loves us all was true. Once long ago, an Indian warrior found an eagle's egg on a mountaintop, and so he put this eagle's egg next to the eggs that a hen was going to sit on. So when time came, the chicks hatched, and so did a little eagle who had been kept warm in the same brood. The tiny eagle grew up along with the hatchlings. And it took him a little while to cackle like the chicken, to scratch the ground, to look for worms, and to limit himself to flying up to the lowest branch of the tree, just like the other chicken. And he kept living with the idea that it was a chicken. One day when the eagle got old, he was looking up in the sky and saw something magnificent. There was, in this bright blue, a majestic bird flying about in the open space, almost without any effort at all. The old eagle was awestruck, so he asked the chicken next to him, oh, what is that up there? And the chicken looked up and said, oh, that's the golden eagle, the queen of the sky. But don't pay attention to it. You and I are here down below. So the eagle never looked up again and died thinking it was a chicken. And that's how everybody treated it. And that was how he grew up, lived, and died. On that day in Jericho, Zacchaeus saw an eagle and realized that he too was called to be an eagle, not a chicken. He realized that he could give up his life, that he qualified to receive God's love, and that he too could give of himself to others. Today, God invites us to see ourselves as God sees us, as his children, to be loved, qualified to love others. No matter what we've done or what we've become today, we can dare to look up and see Jesus, who reminds us of what we really are, sons and daughters of God, enabled to live beyond sins and selfishness, to become all that we are meant to be, to grow up, to be compassionate, to make a world that is different. Thanks be to God for Jesus, who reminds us that we all can be free, as free as the eagle in the sky.